Have been planning to begin a series on families and family relationships in the time when I finish this book of Isaiah, Lord willing, and I'm preparing for that, and I trust that you'll be in prayer for me. We have many young families, and I think it will be appropriate to do that. And as I was looking at Isaiah chapter 66, I thought, well, I don't think I'm going to have a Mother's Day sermon this year as such, because I kind of would like to finish the book of Isaiah. And I was looking at especially these verses at the end of, or the part at the end of verse 3, "Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer." And I was going to preach on bad choices. And then I thought, well, really, the Lord just led me to develop the next part of that chapter. And as I began to do that, I realized there's all kinds of references to mothers in there. And so the Lord had His way, and we'll at least have references to mothers as we look into the Word of God this morning. So I would like to read Isaiah chapter 66 with you at this time. And in the preaching of the Word, we want to look especially at verses 5 through 14. So take particular attention of those verses as we read Isaiah chapter 66. "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb is as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. I also will choose their delusions, and will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at His word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, Let the Lord be glorified. But He shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to His enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith my God? Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, and all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations, that ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when ye see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb. And the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse, shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, Pool, and Lud, that draw the bow to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations, upon horses and in chariots and in litters and upon mules and upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. And I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy and perfect word. Let us pray. Lord our God, we come once again into your presence with a great delight, having read your word and having heard the word of your truth. We pray now that it may be blessed in the preaching of it, that it may go forth with liberty and boldness, that it may go forth above all by the power of your mighty Holy Spirit to the convicting of our sin, turning us toward our Savior, delivering us from ourselves and from Satan and from the world. We pray that you would make yourself known in our midst through this means of grace. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The Lord tells us in these verses, Isaiah 66, 5 through 14, that God's people find comfort when his church prospers. We began, or we looked last week at the promises that the Lord gives. I listen to the man. I regard the man that trembles at my word. The one who is contrite in spirit. The one who is lowly and humble. And the one who can hear all of the things of the world, and they can more or less be a murmur or kind of almost a lull to him, but when he hears God's word, his ears prick up, and he says, this is something that I must pay attention to. This is God's word. And preachers will always say that it is in spite of themselves. It's a tremendous thing to have the privilege of handling God's word. And yet it is done by a sinner. God has ordained that that should be so. And yet the message is what must be seen. The message pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christ is must be what is communicated, what is presented to his people. And the Holy Spirit giving belief, turning hearts of unbelief to hearts of faith, they perceiving Christ rejoice to know the Lord Jesus. And that is a result of trembling at God's word, paying attention, paying close attention to every detail, to every word, and hanging upon every word of God as though your very life depended upon it, because it does. Your soul depends upon believing this word. And so the Lord expresses, I'm going to use the word frustration. That's not a very good word to use when talking about the Lord. He doesn't get frustrated, but he gets angry at sin. And the imagery of frustration comes through when the Lord says, I have given my word, and they have not only not received it, they haven't even been interested to receive it. They haven't hung on every word. They haven't really wanted, and I've stretched out my arm, and they haven't taken it. And so he says, and we already referred to this at the end of verse 3, yea, they have chosen their own ways. Now, the Bible teaches that apart from the power of God's Holy Spirit, you can't choose any other way. You can only choose your own way. And you're in love with your own way. You love what you do. And when what you do doesn't quite work out, you set to fix it up. And you set to repair all of the inconsistencies and all of the evil consequences of your life. Instead of saying, what does God's word say to me about this situation? It's a fearful thing to yield yourself to God. Because your old nature wants to tell you, really, it does tell you, God really doesn't know what he's talking about. And he spoke really well to the Israelites. Jesus spoke really well to the disciples. And he's got lots of wise words, but you know, it just doesn't apply to this situation. And so you'll have to find your own way. But the Spirit of God overrules that and says, God speaks to his people. God has an answer. And though it may not be terribly transparent at the present moment, wait upon him, continue to read his word. The answer is in the word of God. Don't depend upon your own wisdom. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Acknowledge that this is the truth of God's word. It has a bearing, not just upon your life and the various incidences in your life, but first of all, upon your soul. That's the place you have to start in order for everything else to make sense. They have chosen their own ways, and their soul delights in abominations, that which God hates. And I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them. And this is what the reason, one of the reasons that we don't consult God's word is we're scared of what would happen if we do. And the Lord says, yeah, you are scared. I'm going to bring those fears upon you if you don't trust in my word. Just listen to what I have to say. Tremble at my word. And you'll tremble at your word when you not only take it in, but practice it in your life and say, this makes a difference in not just what I believe, but who I am. This is who I am. I belong to the Lamb of God. I belong to the King of Kings. So then he says, now he's focusing his attention a little bit more. All right, you that tremble at your word. You might be saying, you that were listening to last week's message on trembling at my word. I repeated a little bit of it here this morning. Ye that tremble at my word, hear the word of the Lord. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your glory, and they shall be ashamed. The Lord says that sometimes the church goes awry. Sometimes the church turns things upside down. And sometimes the church pushes away or excommunicates those who really belong to the Lord Jesus. But don't let that dismay you. And we can see prominent examples of that in church history. We may think most prominently of Martin Luther, who wanted to reform the church. He had the wonderful message of God's saving grace, and it opened up his mind and enlarged his heart, And he's so delighted. It brought joy and comfort to his heart. And he said, the Pope needs to hear this. And so he went off to Rome, all the way from Germany. Traveled day and night. And got there. And the Pope wasn't very happy with his message. And I won't go into all the details, but the Pope said, Martin Luther, you need to burn all of your books in a bonfire. He issued a bull or a decree. You have to burn all of your writings in a bonfire because you are condemned as a heretic. And on December 10th, you need to show up in the town square at Wittenberg. And Martin Luther said, what am I going to do? And he showed up on that day, and he had a big choice in front of him. And he made the bonfire, made a good-sized bonfire, and then he took that bull from the Pope and he burned that instead of his writings. And that man was excommunicated from the church. Here's a man who loved God's grace, was put out. So what's left but to, we could say, begin another church. But he was required to preach the gospel. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. So he went on in those things. But the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will prevail. That's the promise of God's word. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church has a prominent place in the design of God. He doesn't just say, I will save souls, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So because there are bad things happening in the church, that does not mean that God has forgotten about it. Remember that our attention is always to be fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it His church? Is it His work? Is He present? Is He exalted? Is He worshipped and glorified? Not just by a vain repetition of His name, but by preaching His truth. By revealing Himself in the midst of His people. By His glories being declared by a minister of God. The Lord says that work is going to prevail to the end of time. We might have just a little bit of an allusion here to that, one of the themes of Isaiah, of that remnant that God will always retain. They said, the Lord be glorified, but the Lord, in fact, shall appear to your glory, and those shall be ashamed. And this is going to be done in a very public way. God's vindication, verse 6. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to His enemies. He's not only going to say, this is my church, leave it alone, but He's going to do ill to the enemies of His church. He's going to vindicate His truth. And He's going to do it in a very sudden way. And I think there is an allusion here, a reference here, to the day of Pentecost. When great things happened after the death and burial and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord sent His Holy Spirit and poured out that Spirit through the preaching of the Apostle Peter, and thousands of souls were saved in that one day. You think that would be a glorious thing to behold? Maybe some of you are thinking, I could take it or leave it. But doesn't your heart just well up inside you when you think that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of souls in one place, in one city, that their souls would be turned to the Lord Jesus Christ? What a magnificent work of the Lord Jesus. What a magnificent work of the Holy Spirit. And He says this is going to come about quite suddenly. Verse 7, before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Comes about very quickly. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth? Saith the Lord, shall I bring to cause to bring forth and shut the womb? Saith thy God. No, it's not a terminated pregnancy. It's carried through to the fullness. And here is the consequence or the promise to the Lord's people. A delightful promise. And that is, he says here, the state of the church will bring you both joy and mourning. Verse 10, rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. Your mourning is going to be turned to joy. And again, here's a reference to maybe the bearing of children. When the Lord Jesus Christ says, I think it's in John. Oh, here it is. I didn't think I'd written it down. Now, John 16, verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament. That's because of the birth or the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Isn't that a wonderful promise? There's sorrow. We've gathered this morning to remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ at the Lord's Supper. There is a sorrow in that. We stand before the cross. We see in our mind's eye Christ dying. We know by faith these things to be so. Not just a historical fact, not just something repeated out of a history book. Christ Jesus hung upon that cross. And not only was he cruelly treated by men, we can say he was cruelly treated by his Father. And his Father sees the Lord Jesus, and he sees his Son bearing the sins of his people. And his wrath and anger is poured out upon him in punishment for those sins. Those were my sins. Can you say that this morning? The Lord Jesus Christ bore my sins. He endured the vengeful wrath of his Father. He endured what justice required for my sins, and he took it all. He drank the last drop of God's vengeance. And it all had to be paid, or my sins are not forgiven. It was paid in full. Can you say Jesus suffered for my sins upon the cross of Calvary? I am saved from that wrath. I will never have to bear the wrath of God because Jesus bore it in my place. I'm free. I'm free. I bear a lot of other things in this world, this sin-cursed, wicked world. There's a lot of negative things that happen to me. But one thing I know, I will not bear the wrath of God for that sin. I'll bear his punishment for my sins in this life as a father disciplines his children. But not that wrath, not that vengeful wrath. And that is a beautiful promise that belongs to the people of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the state of the church brings mourning. But the Lord says here that mourning is going to be turned to joy. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. Because it's going to be a place of great comfort. Verse 11, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations. That ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. Here is not only the nourishment that the church provides, but there is the satisfaction, the comfort, that the milk is going to be drawn out in full to the satisfaction of the one who partakes of the milk of her consolations. Verse 12, for thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of Gentiles like a flowing stream. And here is a picture, really, of a stream that is running down the mountain. And some of you who have been to the mountains recently may have some recollections of, I think it's a beautiful sight to see the melting glaciers and the little streams coming down. And they eventually come into a, not only a wider river, but a deeper river that runs still. Remember, David says, He leadeth me beside the still waters. They're deep and they're wide and they're comforting. There's a consolation in this river. I will extend peace to her like a river. Then shall ye suck and ye shall be borne upon her sides and be dandled upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Boys and girls, isn't it a wonderful thing to sit on your mother's lap? It's just nice. Not you, Chris. Your mother doesn't let you sit on her lap anymore, I know. It would be bad for her health. But you remember sitting on your mother's lap, don't you? Yeah. And it's a wonderful, peaceful place to be. It's a place of consolations. Right? Did you ever have monsters underneath your bed? Yeah, you went right to your mother. There was nothing there. Did your mother just kind of throw you to the other end of the room and say, there's no monsters, forget about it. Well, eventually she may have had to say that, but they were very, very persistent. But she knew there was nothing underneath your bed, and she took you and she hugged you, and she consoled you, and she comforted you, and that was a wonderful place to be. To be dandled upon her knees. She plays with you and makes all of your cares just float away. She comforts you. And the Lord Jesus says here, that is what I do through my church. I bring comfort, true peace, true joy, true comfort. We may not really understand what that word comfort means anymore. We talk often about comfort foods. You know, I've never heard that phrase defined, and yet I'm pretty sure I know what it means. I'm not sure that I can explain it to you. But comfort foods, what are they? Just something that makes you feel good when you're not feeling so well, I suppose. Something that brings you comfort when you're feeling anxiety and makes you forget the rest of the world. And this milk isn't like that comfort food, really. We have a hotel chain called Comfort Inns. The Lord says, I'm going to give you true comfort and joy. Not complacency, but confidence that my church is going not only to be established, it has been established, it is going to grow. It is going to do great things. I want you to see that with the eye of faith. I don't want you to judge by the outward appearance. I don't want you to look at the members of Christ's church. I want you to look at Christ, the head of the church. And if we, as God's people, are all looking towards our Savior, will that honor Him? Absolutely. He delights in it. He glories in it. He rejoices to have His people. Do you think He cares what you think or where you look? He does. Especially in His church, He cares where His church looks, where she's fixated, what delights her, what rejoices her heart. As a covenant community, as a group of God's people gathered together who come in the doors and say, let Christ be exalted in this place. I've got cares and tribulations. I've got anxieties and worries. I want Christ to take care of them. I'm not going to pretend they're not there. They're going to be there when I walk out of this building as well. But I want Christ to meet with me here. I want to meet with Christ. I want Christ to show me the way to address those problems and to deal with them. I want to be confident that He is a sovereign God who isn't unaware of those things. Do you think God can look down at your worries and your anxieties and treat them like an uncaring mother would about the monsters underneath the bed? You think God would say, what in the world are you worrying about? Yeah, God can say that because He knows how everything's going to turn out. But He doesn't, does He? Doesn't He dandle you upon His knees? Doesn't He put His comforting arms around you and say, I know the way, but my child, I cannot show you all the way. Just walk with me this far. I've given you today. You don't even know if you have all of today. But I've given you today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Jesus specifically says that. You've got enough troubles and woes for today. Don't add to them what might be tomorrow. Just deal with what you have today in terms of anxieties. Just lay them at the feet of the Lord. Will He receive you and comfort you? He promises that He will. Brothers and sisters, you cannot love the Lord without loving His church. Jesus says so. In this passage, I think He says that very, very specifically. You cannot love the Lord without loving His church. The two go hand in hand. Christ died for His church. Christ gave His life for that church. Because He says here in verse 14, and when ye see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward His servants, and His indignation toward His enemies. There's the vindication of His church again. But when ye see this, when you see the prospering of the church, when you see the Lord intervening and becoming an evident part of His church, your hearts will rejoice. You say that my heart even now rejoices. It rejoices to gather with the Lord's people. I love this place. I love this day. I love the Lord's people. I love the Lord. They all work together because of what Christ has done. I'm going to gather now at the Lord's table. Will you examine your heart? It's one thing to look at the table, to look at the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I can love a man that I've never seen face to face. I can love a man in my imaginations, and I can love what he did for me, but I'm a little disturbed about what he's done for others. That's not Christian love or Christian grace. The Lord Jesus Christ has saved His people. He saved individuals in that church, and He's gathered them together as a church. Can you say, I delight, and even more delight, to see what the Lord will do in His church? The Lord will do great things. And I think we had our annual meeting here a little while ago, and our elder gave his report. Do you remember a while back, I just have been kind of, the Lord's been putting these things together for me just recently. I was preaching on that text in Isaiah about enlarging the borders and about being optimistic, even though we're premillennialists or amillennialists, or we can still be optimistic. And the Lord has promised to bless His church. And hasn't He done that since that time? I think since that time. And I haven't gone out and checked the date of that sermon, but I just feel as though the Lord has gathered us together and blessed us in a peculiar way, in a special way, because we did beseech Him that day, Lord, enlarge our borders. I think He's done it. I think He's doing it. But we have to prevail upon Him and wait upon Him. Lord, do more. Do greater things. We're not content with this because we know that You're able. Do a great work in our midst. We would love to see it. It would be the rejoicing of our hearts. If that's the rejoicing of your heart, will you come to the Lord's table as one of His people? We have some. We can't invite everyone to come. We can't invite those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, don't profess Him. We can't invite those who are under church discipline or who are not members of a Bible-believing church. But we invite those who love the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have joined themselves to Christ's church and love that church and love their Savior. I'll ask our elders to come forward now, if you'll help in the distribution of the elements. And we will turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Beginning at verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Is discernment required at this table? Are you walking with the Lord? Are you delighting in the Lord? I'm not asking if you're perfect. I'm asking if you know that the Lord Jesus forgives your sin. If your sin is evident before you, present before you, will you go to Christ? Will he forgive that sin? He will. I have the promise of God's word. He forgives sinners. Christ Jesus receiveth sinners. Let's take a moment before we distribute the elements to examine our hearts before the Lord and confess our sin quietly. O gracious Father, do forgive our sins. Cleanse us by the blood of Christ. Give thanks for the fullness of the power of that cleansing blood. We give thanks for a thorough application of that blood by your Holy Spirit. We give thanks that we have access unto you by that precious blood. Hear our prayer, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord Jesus, in that night, gave thanks for the bread, for the wine. We will do so now. O Lord our God, we give thanks that you have remembered that we are weak, that we need to be reminded. Give thanks for the Lord Jesus who instituted this sacrament that we may remember that the shedding of his blood was real blood, that his physical body was truly wounded and broken for our salvation, that he suffered great anguish because he loved his church. We pray now your blessing upon these elements, that they may be set aside for this sacred use. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. After the Lord Jesus had given thanks, he took the bread and he broke it, signifying that his body would be broken. And so also we partake of this broken bread together. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Jesus said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." O Lord God, most blessed, Creator of all things, we give thanks that by your grace you have turned our mourning into joy. The bitterness of Christ's death has resulted in our eternal life. O Lord, we love our Redeemer, we love our Savior. The great love wherewith he has loved us. We give thanks that great things are purposed for your church. We wait expectantly
upon you, that your glory may be revealed therein, and that you alone may be praised, honored, and glorified. For we pray in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Closing, let us turn to hymn number 390, Come Ye Souls by Sin Afflicted.